Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Heavenly Father, what more is there to say when we just simply put our hearts out for you and confess and profess how great you are. Lord, we thank you for who you are in your greatness. Because Lord, you could be great, but not relational. You could be great, but not loving. You could be great, but not concerned. But Lord God, you're all of those things. So thank you for all of that. Lord, help us to call after you, to follow after you, to seek after you, Lord. So today, in this time, challenge us. Help us to draw nearer to you. Lord, with everything going on, we stand against so much of what's going on. By standing against that, we grab hold of you and you alone. Lord, in lives today, in personal lives today, if there's conflict, if there's hurts, there's sickness, if there's sorrow, Lord God, we just ask you to meet those needs, to touch those lives, those that are battling, those that have been wandering through the desert for far too long. Lord, I know one thing, it's that you are the answer, Jesus. You are the answer. So today, as we worship, as we go through your scriptures, Lord God, speak to us because we so desperately need that. Jesus, you're so good. Holy Spirit, you're so powerful. Father, you're so loving and forgiving. So be glorified. We pray this in the mighty name of our King Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Awesome. How you guys doing this morning? Did you see all that blue stuff up in the air this morning? Isn't that nice? Let's hope that just stays that way and we keep... How about a long fall? Anybody in it for anybody? Long fall? Really long fall? Not a hot summer, not a cold winter, but a long fall. I'm praying that it snows a whole lot this winter because we need it. But I'm also praying that it's mostly in the mountains. Wouldn't that be nice? Just to have that snow in the mountains and maybe a little here. Easy to shovel and all that. All right, kids. Kids, are you ready to roll? Yeah, I know one is. You guys are dismissed, children. Go on down. And the rest of you adults, we have a couple. Well, I'm not going to say we have quick announcements. We have announcements. First announcement is men's breakfast. Really? Come on, guys. It'll be September 18th. 8:30 a.m. It'll be in the lower level here. It'll be good. I don't know what they're serving, but you're always bacon. That's a given, bacon. Usually it's like, it's crazy. It's like pancakes. I think one time we had pancakes and French toast and breakfast burritos and bacon and sausage and biscuits and gravy. It's just like, where do you start? There's not a whole lot of fruit or vegetable-y things, because it's a men's breakfast after all. So men, just come on 8:30, September 18th. It's just a good time of hanging out. Usually we're out of there by 9:30 or 9:45. Men eat quick and we conversate quickly and then we just move on with the day. And then one more announcement and concerning meals. Wednesday night meals. If you signed up to be a part of Wednesday night meals, or you are interested in helping out with Wednesday night meals in any way, shape, or form, right after service, Sandy Badger's going to have a quick meeting, you know, kind of in the nursery, coffee foyer, right around there. So if you're signed up, make sure you're there. If you're interested, be there. Amen? We need people, we need help, and that makes things go a lot better. Organization is key. And then I'm going to call Tamara up here, and she's got an announcement, a really fun announcement.
Good morning. First of all, thank everybody for coming Friday night. Thank you very much from the cooks, to the people who helped set up, to the people that served, and just the people that came and watched the movie. We appreciate it so, so much. It was a good turnout, probably not as good as last year from what I've heard since I wasn't here. But you know what? Rain and all, we persevered and watched it. So our next event is October 9th. It is the Corn Maze. We're not doing the one that we did previous, I think 2 years ago in Manhattan. This one is in Townsend. I'm not sure exactly what it's like, but this is a picture. I'm not sure if this is this year's or last year's, but it looks really big, which will be really fun. They have other amenities there that you can do. I can't remember what they were. I know you were the last one to read it, but we're going to meet at the Walmart parking lot at noon. You'll see the bunch of cars. It's a Walmart parking lot. It's kind of hard to miss anybody. And then we want to leave by 12:30. You can bring your own lunch. They do have food that you can buy there. I don't know how expensive it is. The last time most people bought theirs. But it's $8. That's the lowest I could get it down to. But it is a little bit lower than it was before for a group rate. But we have to have at least 20. So there will be a sign-up sheet by Wednesday for those who are coming Wednesday. If not, it will be out there by next Sunday. Please sign up. It was a blast the last time we went. So we want you to come back and have some fun.
Will there be kettle corn? Okay, there will be kettle corn. So that's the most important. And we need the sign-up sheet just so we know that we have 20. But we also need to know who's going. So if somebody actually does get lost in the corn maze, we don't leave them there. Well, depending on who it is. But we gotta be safe with all of those things. All right, next announcement. Reva, come on up. We're just doing come on down kind of announcements today. I reflect. I project.
I'm involved in the 40 Days for Life, and I don't know if any of you know anything about 40 Days for Life, but it's 40 days that we celebrate life, but we also go and pray for those the children that are in danger of being aborted. And so it's an important ministry, and I really would encourage each of you to be involved in a small way. And so I'm going to read about what 40 Days of Life kind of does. There's a terrible tragedy occurring in our country. Each day, thousands of people die and thousands more are wounded. Last year, an estimated almost 1 million people here in the United States were either killed, and millions more around the world died from the same cause, and that tragedy is an epic proportion. The tragedy is abortion. It cries out for a response from the Christian community. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And our land needs some major healing these days, folks. Here's how we're going to respond to abortion. Abortion is certainly a terrible blight on our country, but there is a God-honoring and effective way to respond. 40 Days for Life campaign is built on a foundation of prayer and fasting. Recognize that God and all things are possible, even ending tragedy of abortion. Since the first 40 Days of Life campaign started in 2004, God has made some amazing or had some amazing results. 16,000 lives have been spared from abortion. Those are just the ones we know about. 191 abortion workers have quit their jobs and walked away from the abortion industry. 104 abortion facilities have completely been closed down following the 40 Days of Life campaign. God's blessing on the movement is amazing. He has also chosen to bless a campaign by bringing people together to pray. 6,400 individual campaigns have taken place in 61 countries. More than 1 million people have joined in prayer and fasting for the end of abortion. More than 19,000 congregations have participated in 40 Days for Life campaign. They say that when we go to places like Planned Parenthood, who I think has like 60%, does 60% of the abortions in this nation. That when we go there and we pray and we're, our very presence turns away 7 out of 10 women. Our very presence does. So we don't know how many actual abortions have been denied because of our very presence there. Out there in the foyer on a little table is a sign-up sheet for prayer. We have taken one day this month, or next month, excuse me, at the 8th, I believe it is, and we are signing up people for an hour of prayer at Planned Parenthood. An hour is all you need. From 7 to 7, we have our time, and I need to fill those slots up for you, or for 40 days of life. I'll be there. I'll pick whatever somebody doesn't pick is what I'm going to do. But if you would go out and sign up and be there and pray, and it's also better if you take a partner with you, just because some crazy things do happen at Planned Parenthoods around the country when we're there. So it's not necessary, but it's just for your own protection. Anyway, if you could do that, I'd be greatly appreciated. We've signed up for Friday, which generally is an abortion day. So you'll see people coming and going. You may have an opportunity just to pray for that person. If you are not a sidewalk counselor, we do not encourage you to actually talk to the people. The sidewalk counselors will be there, and they have been trained on how to address and pray for these people individually. So, but we do need your prayer. We need your backup prayer. So please come. Please sign up.
So there's a table right outside that door over there. Sign up today on your way out. We don't want to put this off and everything. So sign up now and be praying about how you're going to pray that day. Amen? You guys are always really great about filling in prayer slots. So let's get that filled up hopefully today and next Sunday. Amy, come on down.
Golly, helping Granny up the steps, I guess. Women's ministry is starting back up this week, and we have a 3:45 group still at Carol Shope's, correct? Is that right, Carol? Starting this week also. And the Tuesday evening group is meeting in the office or the garage. If there's a board meeting, we're just right next door in the garage. We will be meeting this week and discussing and praying about what we want to do. Do we want to do the precept upon precept Philippians or a study on the book of John 15, abiding, and prayer? I think it was the other one. So please jump in and join us for one of the women's groups. It's amazing to have the not only the sisterhood and the connection, but there's something different when you dive into the Word or a study with a group of women, and then you know you build relationships, and you know in those tough times you can call, right? You can text and you say, I'm just struggling. It builds an actual sisterhood, so get plugged in. Amen?
Amen. Anybody else want to come on up? No? We're good? Okay. We'll roll. Hey, giving. Three ways to give, like always. Boxes in the back here. Back at the sanctuary in the foyer. You can give online, bridgehelena.com. You can mail it to 725 Granite Avenue. I bet everybody in here goes, oh yeah, we know how to give, right? We know there's boxes, and we know there's online, and we know we can mail it in. I just do that to remind you and give you that opportunity, because it is just one more great opportunity to worship God. The Bible instructs us on that. And what we know is if it's in the Bible and it instructs us in a certain way, it's not because we have to. It's because God wants to bring health into our lives. And there's all different kinds of health, and financial health is one of those. But when we give, it's not just a give to give. We don't give $10 and expect so much money in return. We give out of obedience, and God blesses us in all sorts of different ways. Sometimes it's in physical health. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's in relationships. But it's just like coming to church on a Sunday morning, ready to worship, ready to hear the Word, ready to dive in, ready to be challenged. Anybody here this morning ready for any of those things? A few of you are. So, hey, why don't we just, let's just get rolling. Want to? Let's just get rolling. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are ready to get rolling this morning. We are ready to hear your Word, Lord God. We are ready to think about it. We're ready to process it within not only our brains but our hearts. We're ready to be challenged by it, and we're ready to apply it. Lord, God, it's such a weird prayer to pray those things, but when we do, Lord God, it prepares us, because you're always prepared. So Lord Jesus, help us to be ready. Let everything I speak come from you, Holy Spirit. If it's not of you, shut my mouth. Let everybody leave here different, changed, something that has shifted. Before we leave this building, Lord God, touch lives in here today. We pray this in your name, Jesus. We honor your name, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You guys agree with that? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right, so today we're just going to jump right into Scripture today. So if you have your Bible, hold it up. If it's your phone, hold it up and just shout out, thank you for the Word.
Thank you for the Word.
Awesome. Now turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We are going to be in verses. We're going to start out with verses 2 through 11. We're going to read 2 through 11, then we're going to kind of dive into that just a little more. Here it is. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. What a great way to start a passage of Scripture. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, to put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I count as lost for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Boy, Paul wrote in a way where it was concentrated, right? You see those commercials about like laundry detergent and things like that, and they talk about how our stuff is so much more concentrated, so you don't need as much of it. Well, man, Paul's writing, he just gets right in there. Boy, he throws so much. It's like every word conveys a strong message. If you guys were here last week, you know that last week we had a great time with the moving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was just on the move. The way service closed last week, man, I know people were touched by God. And we talked about the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness in his character, right? Faithfulness in his sacrifice, and faithfulness in his action. And I truly believe that there were people here who they experienced God maybe in a new way. Maybe they've experienced God before, but Sunday I think it was in a fresh way at the altar. And that was an amazing thing. It was just a special time. It's people were coming up, they were broken, they were seeking God, people were praying with each other. God was on the move. And I wholeheartedly believe that when we see, when we seek, when we pursue, when we allow the Holy Spirit, he both challenges us, but he also puts us in motion, right? Because God doesn't want us to stand still. It's up to us to yield and to begin to move with the motion of the Holy Spirit into where he is leading us. That's so vitally important. That's why we do things like last Sunday where we have an altar call. We open up the altar. It's movement. It's general spiritual movement in your lives. But sometimes to get to the point where we welcome that spiritual movement, we have to physically move. Right? Sometimes we have to physically walk those 15 or 20 steps to the altar. And I know it can be the hardest thing, and we can justify all the reasons why we don't need to go there. But I think God sometimes just says, oh no, you do. You do need to go there. Why? Why do we need all these different things? Simple. Because we are not to merely exist. We are not to stay where we are. You could say, but Pastor, I'm in such a good place right now. God is moving in my life. I'm hearing God like I've never heard Him before. I'm doing things like getting into the Word and praying like I've never done before. I'm telling you, God doesn't even want you to stay there. God always wants us to advance. God always wants us to move. God always wants us to be in motion. Now, when we talk about God wanting us to move, we also have to understand that we are not the ones that determine where we are to go. You guys get that? Sometimes as Christians, we just get excited and we think, boy, I need to do this and I need to do that and I need to go here and I need to say these things and I need to pursue God in this way. Well, here's the deal. It's God who determines those things. It's God who calls you out. It's God who leads you. So we are to continually seek more of Christ. And in so doing, our life becomes something that is much greater than anything that we could do on our own. See, no matter where your heart is, if you're trying to do it on your own, it's never going to be as good as if God is doing it, if God is leading it. Sometimes I think about these things and I'm reading my Bible and I'm gaining an understanding about all these things, but sometimes I just got to ask myself, how does that actually look? How does that actually look in my life? A movement within my life where I'm following God and not my own ambitions and my own desires. Well, Paul came to an understanding within his own life that in Christ, he was not only different, but he was also able to become more through Christ than he could have ever been on his own. Some people have a very lofty opinion about themselves, right? We run into people like that. Wow, they really think a lot about themselves. And there's other people who have a very low opinion of themselves. But regardless of where you are on that spectrum, Jesus is the one that comes into our life and changes us and makes us His own so that we don't have to rely on our opinion of ourselves. Let's look again at verse 4. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. That in itself can sound like a very arrogant statement that Paul is making. He's saying, well, all you people who think you got something to boast about, something within your flesh, something within your grasp, something that you did, you think you got stuff to boast about, I have stuff to boast about, and my stuff is even bigger. I should be the one that's boasting even more. See, Paul had every reason. And he had every reason more than anyone else, in fact, to boast in his accomplishments, to boast in his pedigree, to boast in his education, to boast in his flesh. So within this verse, within this scripture, within Paul's writings, he is very much speaking from a position of authority and a position of experience. Now drop down to verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. That's Christ's desire within each one of our lives, right there. Christ's desire is that we gain Him to liberate us from the world's system that is based on personal accomplishments, works, status, and pedigrees. Have you ever chased that? Have you ever thought, boy, I have to look this way. I have to have this gadget. I have to have this type of car. I have to live in this area of the town. My job has to sound like this. I just have to have, I have to dress a certain way. I got to have a certain way of, or a certain style of shoes. That's exhausting. That's ridiculous. And that is something that you can never gain, right? You can never get to that point where you have everything. You talk to billionaires. You can talk to billionaires right now, and we look at billionaires and we think, boy, they must just have a great life. They seemingly have everything. They have nothing without Christ. They have dollar signs, but dollar signs don't do you any good. It's Jesus that does you a whole lot of good. And that's Paul's conversation here. That's what Paul is talking about. Since it is Christ's desire in our life that we give it all to Him, then it needs to be our desire in our life as well. This is not an autopilot type of faith. Christianity isn't. We don't simply say, okay, I believe in Jesus and turn on the autopilot and expect Him to do everything. He has a requirement for us. He desires us to meet Him and to pursue Him. And that's the hard part. Because it goes against everything we have been taught, everything we've seen, everything that we've experienced, sometimes out of church, sometimes in church. See, the world tells us it's all about us, right? It's all about me. But the Father makes it all about Jesus. What a wonderful thing. How can you be selfish when in your own life you make it about Jesus? The voluntary stepping away from yourself and your own ambitions. And not only is that good for us individually, but I'll tell you what, it's good for those around us. Some of you guys hang out with Christian people quite often. Kind of nice hanging around Christian people. And sometimes we hang around with worldly people. And it's much different, isn't it? Conversations, what we're talking about, the ambitions of life are very different between a solid, sold-out Christian and one without Christ. Very worldly, right? It's like, boy, that seems like a rat race. How can you have confidence in anything? That was crazy. What was that like? Just cheering. On the other hand, when we hang around with Christian people, the conversation turns to Christ, right? It feeds you. It doesn't deplete you like over here, like, boy, howdy, maybe I do need a different kind of car, or maybe I do need more money, or maybe money really does bring happiness. But over here, there's life because we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about who He is, what He's done in our lives, all of those different things. See, Paul got it. Paul got it. Paul understood it. And I read these things and I think, man, Paul's wisdom is amazing. See, he was trained and he had the knowledge, but he didn't have the wisdom until he came to Christ. And when we put that together, I read his words and I'm blown away. And I think, man, he has got it. He understands it. I'm not there yet. But I would like to say I'm trying. Trying to give God everything. Trying to allow Him to change me. Trying to move with Him. Wherever that may take me. Because of Christ, I am inherently compelled to want more within my own personal faith and to grow closer to my Jesus. And along with that intention, I desire the same thing for each and every one of you. I don't want to be the only one pursuing Jesus in this church. And I know that I'm not. But I also know that some of you are not completely pursuing Jesus. I want that for you because I have a a glimpse of what that's done in my life. I know what it's done in other people's lives. And I want each and every one of you to experience that same thing. Now, please don't mistake me this morning as this being a self-help, be the best you can be kind of message. Because the fact is, you cannot help yourself. You just can't. You can try. You can go through all the programs. You can read all the books. But you can't help yourself. But Christ can. See, there is no best you outside of Christ. Because Christ literally changes everything. He changes the standard of what you would consider best. He flips it all around. He throws it in a blender. He mixes it all up and he hands it back to you. And for once in your life, it makes sense. It's a wonderful thing. And yet, everything outside of Christ is set up against this motion and this movement in your life. See, the world, the enemy, unchristian friends and family, instead of motion, they have stagnation. See, the science of evolution tells us we are merely to exist. Survival of the fittest. But what we stress there is it's survival. So evolution, these things that the kids are being taught in elementary and middle school and high school about how people mutated from slime into what they are, it's just existence. It's just getting through day to day. Hey, you lived out today. Great. Hopefully you live out tomorrow. There's nothing more than that. Current events and the pandemic pandemonium focuses our thoughts on self-preservation. Self-preservation leads us to focus on existing. And this focus dictates to us that we filter everything through a very temporary outlook. And those consumed with a temporary outlook are fixated upon that mere existence. So by default, they forfeit true life itself. What a horrible thing to imagine, right? To simply exist within this world without any true hope, without any true life, to go day to day without anything more than hoping to just get by. Paul understood to live the life he was created to live, he had to move from self-preservation and simply existing to a place where he could die to himself and completely surrender to Christ. Forsaking all, including himself. Now we understand Paul's pedigree, right? This guy was set. He was the smartest of all of them, right? He was, you know, if there's like the top of the class kid, he was way beyond that. He was born into the right circumstances. He had the right teaching. He had the right training. He was righteous under the law. He had everything going for him. But he got to a point in his life where he said, I have to forsake all of those things. I have to forsake who I am. Because everything else in Paul's words is rubbish. It's garbage. It's trash. It's junk. It's waste. And it has no value. Boy, what an amazing point to get to in our lives. Especially living in a prosperous nation like we do. We can have everything we want if we just work hard. We can do whatever we need. We can attain whatever at any cost. We can get to where we want to be. But Paul's saying, but if you do that, you will understand. You will get there and it won't be what you think it is. because it's waste. It's rubbish. It's garbage. It's trash. And it actually has no value. We've all been there, right? We aspire to something. Oh, looking on the internet. I was going to say through a catalog, but nobody looks through catalogs anymore. Boy, that dates me. Looking on the internet, we look at things and we think, boy, if I only had that, wouldn't that be neat? I really want that. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to attain that. I'm going to get it. It's a car. I want this new car. I want this color. I want these options. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to sacrifice. If I have to take a loan, I'll take a loan. But man, I am fixated on that car. I want that car. I'm doing everything to get that car. Hey, I got that car. Now what? Now I got to wash the car. Now I got to put gas in the car. Now I got to insure the car. Oh, and I got to pay taxes on the car. Maybe this car wasn't the best idea. Maybe that isn't the thing that is going to truly make me happy like I thought it was. But on the other hand, there is Christ. And Paul speaks about finding gain, not in himself, not in himself, but in Christ alone. Look at verse 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, because like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul's desire is that same desire that each one of us should have. I'm not saying each one of us have that desire. What I'm saying is it's the same desire each one of us should have. It's not an easy step to get to. It's not an easy place to get to, because there's a lot of things we want. There's a lot of things we think we need. But Paul's desire is to be found in Christ. Understanding that in order to truly identify and be one with Christ, it cannot be based upon a righteousness that we determine or define. Did you catch that? Do you understand that? We cannot be defining or determining the righteousness that we are aspiring to. Righteousness can only come by way of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that alone. And within this process, we are born into life. We are born into true life. Despite what the world or science or philosophies or false religions may tell us, it is only upon the blood of Jesus that we can attain that life. See, apart from Christ, there is only dead-end roads. We know it. We see it. We've probably experienced it. You have people in your life right now that are on a dead-end road. It's going nowhere. Hopefully they're one of your five that you continue to pray for. We pray for those people that are on a dead-end road. Because here's the thing. They don't have to be. The sooner we realize that, the sooner we can understand what life actually is. Now back to Paul. Back to this Pharisee, Paul. This guy who had everything. This guy who was revered within the Jewish culture. Best and the brightest, the young new guy. Guy that's got big days ahead of him. How did he come to this understanding? What was it that caused him to open his eyes and begin to see the way that things really were? Well, I'll tell you this, it was dramatic. It was a supernatural encounter. And it was a personal interaction with Christ himself. I think as the church, just the church in general, the American church in general, I think we have de-emphasized this. The interaction that Paul had with Christ on the road to Damascus was amazing. We read that and think, holy smokes, It was a bright light. There was an audible voice. He got knocked off his horse, his donkey, his whatever, and he was on the ground, and he was hearing Jesus and the bright light, and people were going, "What is going on?" And he's actually blind. And he can't lead himself anywhere. It was this supernatural encounter by way of the Holy Spirit with Jesus Christ himself. But how often do we emphasize that in our churches? There is a supernatural account. Somebody sent me a study just a few days ago. It said, if I remember this right, that if you take Christians, that only 6% of Christians believe in the Holy Spirit, believe in the person of the Holy Spirit. Well, how can that be? How can we have a supernatural encounter and encounter Christ in such a matter that Paul did if we don't even believe that the Holy Spirit exists? See, every time the church de-emphasizes this supernatural aspect of the Holy Spirit, it handicaps the people. And it handicaps their faith and their relationship with Jesus Christ. It's very much a time to come back to the basics. As everything else changes so rapidly, if you got an iPhone 10, in a couple weeks you got to get an 11. And in a couple of months you got to get a 12, because everything progresses and changes and you got to have the newest of everything. And unfortunately that creeps over into our churches and into our faith. We need the best. We need the newest. We need what's on the edge of everything. But I think the Holy Spirit's saying, no, what you really need is to get back to the basics. Back to fervent prayer. Back to the point where we believe prayer actually changes things. It's so many times, if we get into a crisis in our life or there's indecision in our life, we seek everything else first and then we pray. That's backwards. First we pray, and that directs us to the things that we should be seeking. See, fervent prayer allows us to believe that when we stand on a sidewalk in front of a Planned Parenthood, that it makes a difference. We believe that the words that we're actually praying transcend into the spiritual realm, and that God takes those words and he multiplies those prayers, and there's a supernatural act upon that situation. See, we actually believe that. How many people actually still believe those things? I think we saw a lot of that. We saw a lot of that with the pandemic. Oh, we can't go to church. Instead of, we need to go to church to pray, because it's a supernatural effect upon the physical things that God reigns over. We have to get back to believing in the power of prayer and dedicating ourselves to fervent prayer. We got to get back to reading and believing and applying the Word. It is so rich. I started reading the book of Daniel again. Oh my goodness. The book of Daniel, if you haven't read it in a while, start reading it. Because of the atmosphere and the environment that we are in right now, I'm reading Daniel like, oh my gosh, there's a whole new life there, because I'm applying it to what's going on in our country, in our world, in our situations right now. See, we got to get back to that. We got to get back to actually believing that there's power and life in the Holy Scriptures. We got to get back to seeking and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's ironic that a lot of people in the past had left, we'll just say, their ordinary churches in search of Pentecostal churches and Spirit-filled churches. They left those places because they knew what was going on over here. They would walk in and say, man, it feels different. There's a different worship. God moves here different. There's a different seeking. I'm craving that. I'm drawn to that. That's how it used to be. But then a transformation happened, and a lot of Spirit-filled and Pentecostal churches said, well, we probably shouldn't do that much of that because it might freak some people out. And we might not be able to fill seats. And the very thing that was pulling people into those churches, they're now stepping away from that. It's a crazy mixed up time, isn't it? But we got to get back to the basics. Back to seeking and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, just like Paul, it is here that we have our eyes opened. The scales fall off, and we begin to understand that on our own we can merely exist, but in Christ we can have true existence. And as much as this pains me to say, there are a lot of Christians out there, but also in here, who are merely existing. You're just getting through day to day to day. There's nothing to look forward to. There's no hope. There's no ambition. There's no long term. You're not thinking with an eternal perspective. Why? Because even though it's all about Christ, He does something amazing and wonderful. He involves us. He desires our hearts. And He yearns for us to pursue Him. And it's not the kind of pursuit where we chase after something that we can never attain. It's a pursuit with Him, learning more about Him, developing more and more and more intimate relationship with Him. I wonder how many people are in that pursuit. I wonder how many people are in that movement. It's continually and constantly seeking more of Christ every day. And in turn, every day, moving further and further from yourself, further and further from your flesh, further and further from your sin nature. Have you ever thought of that? Existence means, hey, I'm going to go to church Sunday, maybe, if I have time. I'm going to pray. If I'm not too busy, I'm going to read the Bible. If that situation is just right, that's existence. But when we have the mindset that Jesus, your scripture says, I'm to die every day, I'm to pick up my cross every day. That's movement. So Jesus, in my thought process, I'm not only seeking to draw nearer to you, to move closer to you, but also in that I'm getting further and further away from myself, my sin nature, and my flesh. I so wish I was just speaking about the world right now, but I'm not. I'm talking to you guys. I'm talking to you guys in here. I'm talking to you guys listening. I'm talking to you right now, church. We got to get in this flow of motion where we're getting further from ourselves, closer to Jesus. We need to act like that. We need to put that into action. And let me tell you, it changes everything. But let me ask you this. How would you gauge the depth of your connection with Christ this morning, right now? That brings us to verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. I've read the Bible many times. read all different, the Old Testament, man, there's some good stuff in the Old Testament. There's some great stuff, life-changing stuff in the four Gospels, in all the epistles, in the book of Revelation. It's amazing. There's so much good stuff. But out of all the Bible, I look at this passage and I have to say this is one of the most accurate, humble, truthful, and motivating statements found in all of Scripture. A statement that each one of us should declare every single day. See, I'm kind of in awe of this verse. Because simply put, Paul is saying, hey guys, you know my pedigree, you know who I am, you know all of those things. But you got to understand, I'm not quite there yet. I'm not perfect. I'm not to the point where I want to be. But guys, listen, I'm trying. I'm putting all my effort into this. I am pressing on with Christ in order to make it my own. And here it is. Here is what it's all about. Here is where we move from a mere existence. Here is where we hang our very life upon. Flip that slide. And though I myself have reason to confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. That is not the right slide. It should be slide 9. It says this, because Christ Jesus had made me his own. What an amazing statement right there. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Do you guys understand what is being said right there? Do you understand how huge that is? Everything we do, everything we pursue, everything we put effort into is or should be because Christ had made us his own. We don't make Christ our own. He makes us his own. That is so big. That changes our understanding. We're not on the outside looking in, trying to get in. God is saying, no, you're in. I have made you my own. He has brought us into the family of God. Grafted us in through adoption to the point where he sees nothing else. No longer slaves to this world, existing just day to day to day, but rather free in Christ and having a true existence in him. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Boy, I hope so. Verse 13 says this, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Stop there for a second. Paul, it's just his writing is so good. Paul using the term brothers. Brothers, listen to me, brothers. He's using that term here, and it is a way of him placing everyone, including himself, on the same level. See, Paul was absolutely their spiritual leader. Paul was an authority in the church. But we were all on equal terms when it comes to Christ. And Paul is leading by example. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Just like you guys, I'm working on it. My faith journey is in process. I'm not there yet. So don't think it has anything to do with me because it's all about Christ. And now look at what Paul says. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Despite where I am now, regardless of where I have been previously, this one thing I do, I strain, I stretch out with as much strength and effort as I can, disregarding anything around or behind me. I fix my eyes upon Jesus Christ because he is the prize. He is the goal. Not living a mere existence. I'm not just existing. I don't look at it like that. No Christian should look at their life as something they're just getting through, just existing. We've all been there. We go through seasons. Sometimes those seasons turn into a real deserty area where we just try to get day after day after day. That's not Christ's plan for your life. The Holy Spirit's power does not dictate that kind of lifestyle. We are not to live a mere existence, but rather we are to live a life that is existing in Christ Jesus and Him alone. It changes everything. Worship team, if you guys would want to come up here. Here's the reality of it. See, when we merely exist, there's no enjoyment in mere existence. We simply see things as day to day, to get through, to barely make it. How is there enjoyment in any of that? We lose joy. Life without joy is a horrible thing. A life without hope is a terrible thing. But Christ is calling us out of that. He's leading us out of that. If anybody in here today is relating to what I'm saying, man, I just feel like I'm just getting through day to day. I just feel like I'm merely existing. I'm telling you, listen to what Paul is saying. I'm telling you, listen to what the Scriptures testify to. I'm telling you, listen to the attributes of who we know Jesus to be. I'm telling you, listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you right now, that there's so much more than your mere existence. Christ is calling us into relationship with Him. Not a weird theological relationship that's hard to understand and I better just do it because everybody else in church is doing it. Rather, true life, regardless of anything else that you've been told, other than all the best-selling books that you have read, Jesus Christ is calling you into a beautiful relationship with Him. And when we come into that relationship with Him, we begin to experience true life. We begin to look at things differently. We begin to gain an eternal perspective of understanding that no matter what happens on this earth, no matter what treasures I try to store up on this earth, no matter what accomplishes I attain on my own in this earth, it's all rubbish. It is all trash. It has no value. It is a waste because I have put everything into my Jesus and my eternity with Him. If anybody in here is sitting here going, man, I want that, I need that, I would invite you during this last worship song to find somebody to pray with. We can do it on our own, yes. We can just get before Jesus and yield our hearts to Him on our own. That's the kind of Jesus we serve. But sometimes that supernatural power of the Holy Spirit erupts when we pray with other people. When we verbalize to other people, and pastor, whoever, man, I'm just barely making it. I'm barely getting day to day to day. I have no joy. There's no enjoyment in my life. I have nothing to hope for. I watch the news and it just pulls me down that much further. And you confess that and the two of you begin to pray. And supernaturally, the Holy Spirit gets involved. Who in here does not want a supernatural movement of the Holy Spirit upon their life? No, that's right. We say no to that. Here's the deal. Each one of us needs a supernatural touch from the Holy Spirit upon our life. Not just this morning at church. We're talking every day. I'm a mess. Every day I need a supernatural touch of the Holy Spirit. We need to get back to basics. We need to believe in fervent prayer. We need to understand that this is the truth. This is the living Word of God. We need to pull all these together. We need to be seeking the Holy Spirit for ourselves, this church, and this community. For goodness sakes, we need to be doing this. We talk about wanting revival. We talk about wanting to see a mighty work of God. And God's saying, I'm just waiting on you guys. I'm just waiting on you. He's not saying, no, I won't do that. That's not my nature. That's absolutely His nature. So each one of us needs to begin with getting to a place within our own life where we're seeking, we're desiring, we're pressing, we're straining, we're stretching out with effort to be a little bit closer to Jesus, which means we're just a little bit further from who we are, our flesh, our nature, our sin. Church, we need to move into this phase. We need to move into this phase for ourselves, and we need to move into this phase for those around us, those that are on your list. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be starting a series. We're going to go through 1 John. We're going to go through the whole book of 1 John. What an amazing, loving, powerful, black and white book that is. It's a great time to be inviting people that are on your list, because we're going to see the basis of the love of God, the sacrifice of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit. But this morning, I'm saying, get there yourself. Do what you need to do. Start it this morning. I would love to see. Bring the lights down. Just go ahead and bring the lights all the way down. I would love to see people in here just praying with each other. We got all afternoon. If you're not there, if anything I said to you this morning, if you're not there, grab somebody. Let's get in small groups and begin to pray with each other. Amen. Everybody stand up. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we seek you. We say it all the time, how much we want you. How much we want you in our lives. But Lord, are we putting in the movement and the effort? Lord, you continually draw us closer to you. But so often we dig in our heels because we want to stay where we are. Because we're comfortable and we're content, we're apathetic with where we are. Jesus, you are never calling your people to stay where they are. You're calling us to so much more. So Lord, if there's those within us this morning that need that supernatural realization similar to Paul had, Lord, I'm trusting in you that you will make that happen. Lord, if there's those in here that just need that push to get them off the sofa, get them off the couch, maybe that little kick in the pants to get them moving, Lord, I trust that the Holy Spirit will do that in an appropriate way. Since all of our personalities are different, sometimes I need the kick, and other people just need the invitation. Lord, whatever that may be. Lord, if anybody in here is content with where they are because they're in a good place, Lord, let those thoughts leave their head, their heart, their faith. Because Jesus, you're calling us to more. Help us to never forget the five that were praying for, because Lord, if we're praying for them and you're opening up opportunity, the worst thing we can do is leave them where they're at. So Lord, I ask for a great movement. Lord God, I ask for a great movement, full well understanding that most of the time that's up to us and our own desire to move or to stay where we're at. So Holy Spirit, we invite your supernatural touch upon this body today. Lord, golly, you can do anything. So if it's here, it's here. If it's online, it's online. If it's however it needs to be, it is however it needs to be. But Father, send the power of your Holy Spirit back into your church. Let us rejoice that our names are written book of life. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And everyone said, Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.